broad range of economic sanctions should Russia embark on further steps to destabilize Ukraine. How did that happen? I wasn't under the impression that EU was pretty much, as our guest there, Peter Sinha, said, economically somewhat obviously reliant on Russia. And of course, the big question about gas comes into play here, of Russia, the amount of gas that it provides the EU countries.
Well, look, first of all, I think that Peter is right, that that the left to their own devices, the European Union would very much like to, number one, avoid being drawn into major economic sanctions against Russia, because quite frankly, the Russians have a lot of economic leverage. The city of London handles a great deal of Russian money, both oligarchical money and Russian state funds, and those banks are not in very good shape. And A sanctions regime which cut off the flow of those funds into the city of London and other financial centers in Europe could have a tremendously disastrous impact, because frankly the European banking and financial system is on very weak ground. Secondly, Secretary Kerry was just in Kiev, and he announced that the U.S. is prepared to give $1 billion in loan guarantees to Ukraine, and it's already widely acknowledged that most of that money is likely to go to Russia in the form of payments for the increased costs of Russian natural gas to Ukraine, because the special discount prices negotiated between Putin and Yanukovych are going to be cut off in April. Yesterday, the Russians also announced that they were going to hold off on deliveries of fuel for nuclear power plants in Eastern Europe and Ukraine because of, quote, the security situation. And Ukraine has 15 nuclear power plants that get most of their reprocessed fuel from Russia. So I think that if we get into a game of economic warfare, it's very questionable who's going to come out on top.
Well, we are in the middle of this. As I said, Jeffrey Steinberg, we are in the middle of it. EU has come out and announced these sanctions, the other ones being threats of, as I mentioned, targeted sanctions, as well as a broad range of economic measures. They haven't announced point specific what those may be. So we are on that road. We are there.
Right.
So what's going to happen?
Well, I think, let me just finish my thought. The U.S. carries a great deal of leverage with the Europeans, and I'm sure that various U.S. officials, if not Secretary Kerry, then certainly National Security Advisor Rice and others, were working the phones, maybe even President Obama himself, so that the gap between the European action and the U.S. action was as narrowed as possible. Until we see the content of the sanctions coming from the Europeans, one has to reserve judgment and say, well, there's sanctions in name and there's sanctions in deed, and it remains to be seen just how far this is going to go. I just want to say that there's a much bigger threat issue here, namely that if NATO winds up on the borders of Russia, with Ukraine being fast-tracked into not just the EU but NATO, with the plans now to even possibly deploy missile defense systems into Ukraine, it's been mooted in the last 24 hours, we could be dealing with a much greater strategic crisis and conflict than one having to do with economic ties and sanctions. And the war danger implicit in this has been described by some people as a kind of reverse Cuban Missile Crisis that could bring us to the brink of the kind of confrontation that I don't think anybody's interests are served by pushing that button.
Well, we're going to expand on that more, and I'm going to come back to you, Peter Sinha, in terms of some of those scenarios that Jeffrey Steinberg talked about. But first, let's just take a quick time out and listen to some of the viewer comments as posted on our Facebook page.
An advisor to Russian President Vladimir Putin said earlier this week that Russian authorities would consider dumping more than $200 billion of U.S. government bonds in response to possible U.S. sanctions against Russian companies and individuals. U.S. business in Ukraine. To try and plunder Ukraine's agriculture and industry, and to try replace Russia's military bases with that of NATO. On waiting for Russia to use gold and silver if EU and US propose sanctions against them, Once it's done, we're gonna see EU and US gradually bankrupt in fast rate.
Some of the view comments there, as posted on our Facebook page. Peter Sinnott, Jeffrey Steinberg talked about, I'm going to label it a doomsday scenario in terms of the NATO deployment around Russia on its borders. But I'm guessing that there's got to be some red lines to have been to be crossed there, Peter Sinnott. One of the things is, I would guess, joining the EU. And the EU did come out. Herman Van Rompuy has come out and said, we're ready for Ukraine to sign the treaty, even before the elections that are going to be coming up. How many red lines are going to be crossed before we see reactions from Putin coming in stronger? And what kind of reactions may we anticipate Putin to make here?
Well, I think the idea of Putin's threat will be economic. And we should look at the idea of these lower prices that Ukraine pays for natural gas and why. What it has done, in effect, is keep Ukraine's industrial base, Kharkiv, Donetsk, it has kept them in an old rust belt. They are not modern factories. And that's a problem that plagues Russia as well. So there hasn't been the investment in Ukraine that could really turn its industrial area into a modern competitive industrial area. So I think the entire future for the Ukraine the next few years is going to be one of dependency, whether it's more dependent on Russia or more dependent on the EU and the United States. So this is an economy that will start to be looked at in a much greater detail than it has been till now. This Ukraine has been sort of sidestepped. It has not been the major focus of foreign policy by the United States or by the EU since the end of the Soviet Union. And that's a big thing to say. The Orange Revolution that occurred was a surprise, but it wasn't followed with the kind of focus and in-depth investment that could have made a difference. So we find ourselves often in this situation that the West has interests, it has political interests, it would like certain things to get better, but there isn't really the commitment. And the only kind of commitment that ever really matters is a commitment on the scale of the Marshall Plan after World War II. So we've watched for two decades and more the Ukraine's population dwindle. We've watched them reach out all over the world for jobs. This is the reality of the situation. There are spots that do well, but we don't see an economy that is anywhere near a European economy. Now, the EU has stretched a bit in some of its recent new memberships, and they're not likely to do that soon, because the EU has been in a crippling economic crisis for several years now. So they will they recognize that Ukraine wants to be European and not part of Russia, integrated into it? We still have to see. Can the US's idea of things should be this way and that way be followed up with real policy and real investment? Because that's what's been missing all along. So if it really matters to anybody, they're going to have to open their wallets.
Jeffrey Steinberg, you seem to think that the bigger picture is about this perhaps military type confrontation that may occur. But, you know, maybe we don't have to go that far back. Just a few days ago when Putin actually did issue a threat. This was against the U.S. in that famous press conference he had at his home outside of Moscow. He said, and this was in reference to the U.S., I think obviously now with the development of the EU coming imposing sanctions, he said, if the U.S. imposes sanctions on Russia, it may stop using the dollar for international transactions, and an attempt to announce sanctions would end in a crash for the financial system of the United States, which would cause the end of the domination of the United States in the global financial system. Do you think Putin would go through with that?
Well, I think that that regardless of Russian actions, that the transatlantic financial system is on extremely shaky grounds to begin with. And I don't think that Russia is the decisive or determinant factor in that. European banks are going through stress tests, and probably about a third of the major European banks, the systemically significant banks, are going to be failing those tests. They're undercapitalized. The EU is under enormous pressure, the ECB, to do a quantitative easing policy like the Fed. The Fed in the United States is now sitting on a portfolio of overvalued security assets in the range of $2 to $3 trillion. That's never happened before. So I think that we're on fragile ground to begin with. So I think the economic problems are there regardless of whether we get into a kind of pissing contest of back and forth sanctions, with Russia threatening to step away from the dollar role as a world reserve currency. Sergei Glazyev made statements in that general direction over the last few days as well. He's the head of the customs union. But I think that the weakness of Europe, as Peter indicated, there was no impulse towards a Marshall Plan. Yanukovych, in the closing days of negotiations around the Eastern Partnership, said that Ukraine would need 40 billion euro a year in investment for an undisclosed number of years to rebuild the economy up to a level to be competitive with European Union standards and various...
Well, unfortunately, and fortunately, in some sense, we lost Jeffrey Steinberg there, but that brings us to the end of the show because we just don't have any more time. Let me thank our guest, Executive Intelligence Review Jeffrey Steinberg, who was talking to us there from Washington, and also like to thank Peter Sinnott, independent scholar, who spoke to us from New York. Thanks for watching another edition of The Debate. Repeatedly, the program is on our website, www.thepresstv.com, under Programs and also under Interviews. From Mikhail Batavoy and the entire team in the capital, Tehran, it's goodbye.